Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
We just love coming together. And this week, we are starting a brand new series called Table Talk. And I could not be more excited about the potential that I believe God can do in this series, because at Bridge Church, we just hope that it feels like family. We want people to come together and truly live in community, to find real, authentic relationships. And so this series, we're going to be talking about relationships, and we're going to take it to the next level. You guys ready? Out in the lobby, right after service, we're going to encourage everybody. We got some little granola bar snacks right there. And every week, we're going to put out a new list of questions, and our hope is that you'll just take about 5-10 minutes and hang out after service. Let's just sit together. There's a couple little sections you can sit. There's a couple high-top tables that'll be out there, too. You can just go there. We even have a little name tag. So you put a little name tag on there. You put your nickname on there if you want to, right? And just put your name on there and just get to know other people here at the church. And some of the questions are, I don't want you to be fearful of them. Some of them are as easy as Pepsi or Coke, right? Like, come on, Coke. Amen. Well, there you go. All right. I know some people, you move down here from the north and it's Pepsi, and I actually like Pepsi. You know, I got it traded out, but I'm a Coke guy. So don't be fearful. There are some questions in there, where you're from, all of that. But our hope, our prayer is that we would connect in a very real way. And so this entire series, the goal and the hope and the vision is just to have some real conversations on how to build stronger and healthy relationships in our lives. And we believe the Bible holds that key. The Bible holds the foundation and the truth for that. And so my name is Daniel Casnave. I got the honor and privilege to be the lead pastor here. You saw some of our worship team. Our children's ministry is rocking in there. They're going to learn an incredible lesson today. And I just want to pray for us, and then we're going to jump right in. We're going to be in John chapter 6 today. John chapter 6. We're going to have a couple other supporting verses, but John chapter 6 will be our main verse we go into, and it'll be on the screens for you as well. But let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we love you. God, just thank you so much for everything that you have given us. God, I pray that we just experience your love, your grace, and your truth, God. God, I just pray we can take the next few moments, and I pray our hearts and our minds will be open to what your word has for us, God. God, I pray that you will speak to us in incredible ways. I pray that your word, God, will just become powerful and alive and active in our lives, God. And I pray that we can walk out of here with the weight of the world off of our shoulders, feeling and living in your freedom, God. God, we love you. We praise you, God. I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. I'm going to give you a one line, and I'm going to repeat this before every message this series, okay? Because it's so big, I believe it's so important, okay? That it is not just information, but application that brings transformation, all right? It's not just information, but application that brings transformation. And as your pastor, I was just praying and going, oh, I hope people can get excited about what this word says. And not only just go, oh, that was kind of cool, or oh yeah, I believe that, but to take it home and go, you know what? I'm gonna live this out this week. I'm gonna give everything I got to this one truth I learned this week, this one truth I learned today. Because I believe it can do incredible things in our lives. And we see this in James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because I believe that when we not only hear God's word, but apply it to our lives, we begin to see God in an incredible transformational kind of way. And I believe it can be a powerful, powerful thing. And so I just want to sit to share a little bit about Table Talk and the heart behind it. Because if you didn't realize, have you noticed in our relationships, if we just kind of step back and just let life happen, it's like we look back one day and go, wait a second. Well, I don't feel closer to the people around me. In fact, maybe I've even started to isolate myself a little bit. I know that can happen to me where if I just kind of let life happen, I just get busy. I mean, day after day, things begin to happen, and in fact, something else may happen in our life, or a tragedy or a circumstance, whatever may come about down the road, or just honestly, just the busyness of life. And we look back and go, man, I've kind of just kept this super tight circle. Maybe I'm just close to my family. And I believe that even inside of our family dynamics, we look and go, wow, I don't know how intentional I have been. And I'm thinking about as a husband and as a father and as a friend to some of the people that are close to me, coworkers, all those different avenues. I look back and go, man, I just want those to be healthier, stronger, and thriving. And I believe that there is a force, an enemy out there who is trying to divide our relationships and our lives. We're reading in John 10:10, it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. That's what Jesus is talking about when he's looking at your relationships. He's saying the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy all of those relationships. But Jesus says, hey, I want you to have a rich, full, satisfying life in that experience. And then here in Ephesians 3, verse 20, I just love this verse. If you want to memorize a verse, wake up in the morning and say, God, you got something for me today. But this is my hope and our prayer as we launch into this Table Talk series. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to his power at work within us. Amen, right? Like, I just see that he wants to do immeasurably more, so much inside of our relationships, so much inside of our lives. And let that be the target. Let that be the goal. And God is saying, I want to get you to that spot. But I believe when we think about relationships, the hard part about relationships is people, right? Like, it would be, last week we talked about Nisha, like, it would be so easy to have healthy relationships if we didn't have to have relationships with people, right? Like, I just think about that, and it made me start to think about, have you ever scrolled through Instagram or Facebook and read some of those memes? I just want to show you a couple of memes here real quick. There's a couple of pictures here. I don't have a problem with her as long as she doesn't talk to me, look at me, or is anywhere near me, and I don't see her and hear her name, right? They ever felt that way? Like, it would be okay as long as all these things were. And then we got another one. Look, maybe you're a cat person. Aw. No? Okay. Me neither. I don't like morning people. Or mornings, or people, right? Like, you ever felt like that? Like, I'm not a morning person, but I'm not gonna connect with somebody else today. And sometimes life can feel that way, right? Like, we can just be like, oh, people are just, can be annoying or aggravating, or all these tension points, or hey, they don't really connect with me, they're not like me, I don't understand them, they don't understand me. And we feel this wedge in between us, and God is saying, hey, I got something for you I want you to experience in an incredible way. And I love the Bible, because as we get to John chapter 6, Jesus was walking this earth. And in fact, he starts having a conversation with the people around him on what it looks like to lay the foundation for a strong and healthy relationships in our lives. And so if you look back at John chapter 6, and if you want to go back and read the chapter, it's kind of long, but it is jam-packed with some action. You got Jesus who starts out getting ready, and they come together, and there's a large crowd. The Bible says 5,000 men. And so not including the women and children that are all there. They come to hear Jesus preach. They come to hear Jesus teach, and he is teaching all day, and all of a sudden they're like, well, the disciples come to Jesus and go, hey, we need to do something. We need to feed these people. They get a long trek back home. Like, they came to hear us speak. Like, we got to feed these. And Jesus, being Jesus, kind of like the man that he is, looks at it and goes, well, feed them. And the disciples are like, that's not in the budget, Jesus. Like, this is like 7,000, 8,000, 10,000 people. This is not in the budget. And Jesus turns and goes, well, I love this so much. Well, what do you have? And there's this little kid, he comes up and he's like, ah, I got some fish and a couple loaves of bread right here. Like, can you use this? And I love this imagery. It's so powerful, because when we bring God what we have, he does what only he can do. And that is miracles. And that is multiply. And that is do incredible things. And so he offers it to Jesus. Jesus gives thanks. And they start giving it out to people. And guess what happens? It just keeps on giving. It keeps going. It keeps going. It feeds every single person. And then has like 12 baskets left over, where they're taking home leftovers sitting in the fridge, right? Any leftover people in the house? Like, you just love leftovers. That's my wife, not me. But like, all these leftovers they take home, and they have them there with them. And Jesus performs this incredible miracle. And then they go and spread. And Jesus is like, I just got to get by myself. And he goes up to the mountain. His disciples go across the sea, lake, sea, whatever you like to call it there. And they go out, and all of a sudden the night falls. And his disciples begin to look out onto the water, and they're like, do y'all see that? What? It looked... It looks like somebody is out there and there is no boat. Like, we're like, what is happening right here? And all of a sudden it gets closer and closer, and they're like, I see a ghost. I see a ghost right now. Like, what is this? And gets closer, and they realize that is Jesus. Jesus is walking towards us. He is not on a boat, and he is walking on the water. And they see Jesus. This is incredible feat. And Jesus comes, and they have this conversation with Jesus. And Jesus is trying to teach them who he is and that he is truly sent from heaven. These incredible miracles after miracles. And then all of a sudden it says they were immediately onto the other shore. And they get to the other shore, and guess what? Another crowd of people are standing right there getting ready to talk to Jesus. They want to find out more about him. They even ask him, they go, hang on, how did you get to this side of the sea or lake? You didn't get into the boat with all of your disciples. How did you get to this side? And if you study Jesus, it's so incredible. He is the best conversationalist ever. He can take any question and all of a sudden he's like, boom, now we're talking about heaven. Right? Like, I just love how Jesus does. Like, they just ask him this simple question, how'd you get from this side of the lake to this side of the lake? And all of a sudden, Jesus shifts and he goes right into this conversation that we're going to look at in John chapter 6. We're going to look in chapter 6, verses 26 through 35. You guys still with me? All right, good deal. Verse 26, and this is Jesus answering this question. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs. They're saying, how did you get to this other side? And he's saying, hey, you're coming over to talk to me because not that you saw these signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. And Jesus is saying, hey, look, you came to me because you all came and you were hungry. Your stomachs were hungry and I fed you. You saw that miracle. You came because you heard I walked on water. And Jesus is saying, but I want you to realize, I want your mindset and your relationship with me to understand and realize that, yes, I can do all of those things, but those are physical and material things. He's saying, I want you to understand the spiritual side and what I can do for you in the spiritual side of your life and your heart and your soul. Because guess what? In a few hours, you're going to be hungry again. For some of us, like 2 hours, right? Like in a few hours, you're going to be hungry again. And he's saying, you're following me because I provided for your needs in that physical sense. He's like, but I want to provide for you so much more. I want to provide for your soul and for your mind that you are refreshed. And he's saying, that's why I want you to come to me. Not just because I can fulfill those needs, I can heal, I can do all those miracles. Those are great, and those are amazing, and those catch our attention, right? When God just pulls us out of something. But God is saying, hey, I want you to grow in your relationship with God, that you hunger and thirst for righteousness, that we want to grow closer to him. And I think about the table talk. You think about your table at home, my table at home, whatever that looks like. My table at home, to be honest with you, in our season, is kind of chaotic, okay? We got 4 kids, ages 7, 6, 4, and 2, and it's kind of like herding cats with their tails on fire. I'm like, hey, no, get back up, here you go. No, you finish yours. No, you stop. What are you doing right here? Like, well, let's go, come on, finish yours. Why are you crying, right? Like, it's just all this is happening all at once. And whatever the table looks like for us, when we come to the table, we come because we want to get fed, right? And I believe that God wants that for us, that when we come to the table, that Jesus is saying, hey, I want to feed you. Not only do I want to provide for your needs, but I want to nourish your soul. And so Jesus continues to transition here, and then he goes in verse 28. So he's teaching them. And then I love this question. It says, then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. So they said to him, this blows my mind, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe in you? What work do you perform? And if I'm Jesus, I'm walking off at this point. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I just fed 5,000 people. I just walked on water. And the feeding 5,000 was the 5th miracle recorded in the book of John. The 5th miracle that he has already done. Incredible things. And these guys are going, okay, if you want us to believe in you, I'm like, can we see a miracle? Can you perform? Just do a little something for us right here. Like, can you just show us right here? But I look at that, and there's so many times in my life that I go back to this question. I mean, don't we sometimes where God is just, maybe God has moved in a life, or maybe you're just checking this Jesus thing out or just starting this church thing out, and that's okay. And maybe you've just heard stories. That's okay. We want you to lean in and listen. But maybe you've been a Christian for a while and you remember when God saved your soul. You remember when God set you free. Maybe God pulled you out of some pretty dark and scary situations in your life. And then years happen and time happens and life happens, and we get back to the same spot going, okay, God, are you really still there? Are you really still speaking in my life? Or maybe a new faith step arises in front of us. And this happens to me in my life every once in a while, where I feel like God's asking me to take another faith step, another journey, or change something in my life. And I'm like, God, can you just show me a sign? Right? Like, can you just show me, like, and click, can you write it in the sky, like at the air show? Like, can you do that for me, God? Can you make this happen? And I believe that we look at that moment, look at those questions in our life. And Jesus, being incredible, he continues, and this is what he says here. And when they ask him for a sign, verse 31, it says, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness as it was written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall not never thirst. Again, this is a pretty bold statement, and they're still thinking physical right now, because Jesus is saying, hey, in the Old Testament, you remember the Israelites were wandering around in the wilderness and they needed food, and Jesus brought fresh manna, food for them every single morning, provided for them every single morning. And Jesus reminds them and says, hey, Moses didn't make that happen, but my Father did. And now my Father has sent you this new bread, this new nourishment. And now he's talking about the spiritual, and he's talking about himself. He's saying, hey, You keep thinking about the physical, and he's like, I want you to realize how you can be nourished. Your soul can be nourished in an incredible way. And he's saying, not only has God sent manna down for the Israelites every single day, fresh food, he's saying, but Jesus has sent the new bread down from heaven. And then he points to himself, and he's so clear. And he says, hey, I am the bread of life. I am the one who can nourish you. I am the one. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And if we just realize who Jesus is and who he wants to be in our lives, we can realize that God wants our soul to be refreshed. And everything starts with our relationship with Christ. The foundation of healthy relationships start with a healthy relationship with Jesus. And that if I look at your life and we were to sit down and have a table talk conversation, you said, Daniel, I just got this going on in my life. I got this relationship and it is struggling. We're experiencing tension. The first place I would start, and I say, hey, well tell me how do you feel like you're close to God right now? Like, what do you feel like your relationship with Jesus is like right now? Because when our relationship with Jesus grows healthy, and when we come to the table and we get the fresh bread from Jesus, because Jesus says in John chapter 1 that he is the Word made flesh. And we get the Word here today in 2019. We get to read his Word and read his truth. And when we come to the table, I want us to realize that when we come to the table, it's that we're coming to get nourished by Jesus, nourished by him. And every time we come to God's Word, or we pray to him, or we come into community and somebody speaks God's Word into our life, speaks God's Word into our life, we're coming to the table. And this is what I want us to realize, is that when we come to church, we're coming to the table. We're coming to the table to receive God's Word, to receive his truth, to receive his understanding. And we're getting fed spiritually because we sit down and we open up his Word and we pick it apart and we pray about it. And we're saying, this is where God's leading us. This is what he wants us to understand. And every time we come to church, because church connects us, our mission statement is to connect people to Jesus daily. Every time we come to church, we're connecting with the bread of life. We're connecting and building a strong foundation for our relationships. And when we sit down and have that conversation and have an open heart for what God wants for our life, it's an incredible thing. And I don't know about you, but if the only time that we come and get fed to feed our soul is on Sunday, I mean, think about if we were to go and try to survive off one meal a week. We were supposed to just one meal a week. I don't know about you, but I can't go like, it's like after the next hour, I'm ready to eat again, right? And I'm like, where's the bread? Where's the next thing I need in my life? And Jesus is saying, hey, you need to come to the table more than just one time a week. You need to come to the table more than just one time a month. You need to come to the table more than just once every 6 weeks. I want you to be so full that you're overflowing. You got so much bread of life in your soul. All of a sudden, the relationships around you, now not only are you feeding yourself, but now you got so much you're ready to feed somebody else. And if you look at the spiritual growth realm, and as we just picture the spiritual growth, and as we're sitting at the table, that as parents, when you have kids, or you have a little cousin, or you have a young one, and all of a sudden they come running up, right, like boom, pop up in the chair, and they're sitting down and they're ready to eat, we don't have to think going, you know what, I'll probably need to help them. And what do we do as parents? We go over there, we grab the fork, and we cut it up into tiny little things. And if you're like a, you know, one of those parents, you're like, oh, I got to cut the grapes, I got to cut this, I got to cut the watermelon, right? Like all those things, right? Like you got to make sure it's already prepared, because now you're not only feeding yourselves, but you're ready to feed someone else. And my hope, my prayer is that we come to the table, and not only do we give an opportunity to feed ourselves, but we get an opportunity to feed somebody else. And that not only do we have a strong relationship with Jesus, but we can help somebody else receive a strong relationship with Christ. And when we come to the table, we bring everything that we have, everything in our past, everything that's happened to us now, all the relationships, the hurt, the struggle, the pain, we can bring it to the table. And Jesus is saying, hey, that's why I went to the cross, so that you don't have to carry that anymore. Let me heal that in your heart. Let me heal that in your mind. Let me heal that relationship. He gives us this amazing thing called free will. And so he may not guarantee reconciliation with every single relationship, but what he can do is guarantee freedom if you will allow him to do that inside of your life. He can guarantee freedom and forgiveness for your heart. You can be set free from those relationships and maybe have drugged, hurt, and just taken you to a dark road. And Jesus is saying, look, bring that to me and let me heal that in you first. And once he heals that in you, then we can go in a healthy way to the other relationships inside of our lives. And I kind of just want us to think just for a moment. What are the relationships that God has put into our lives? What are the relationships that God has placed into our moments? And my prayer today, I'm only going to go about 5 more minutes, and I'm going to pray for us. Because we're going to sing a response song here. We're going to leave a little extra time to be in the lobby today and talk and connect with each other. But I want this series. Today we're just setting this up, and then we're going to dig straight in over the next 3 weeks. And I'm telling you, I believe God is going to do something incredible. But I want us to start here, because I believe that there are relationships in our lives that we have allowed to just cause maybe bitterness and anger and frustration and hurt inside of our lives. And Jesus is going, look, I don't want you to start every other relationship on that foundation. I want you to be set free first. Come to the table. Give that to Jesus. And he's saying, I want to replace that with the bread of life, which is hope, which is freedom, which is what we can move forward. And he's going to take that unforgiveness, that bitterness, that will soon turn into anger. And he's saying, I will turn that around and turn it into peace, turn it into patience, turn it into, hopefully we pray for reconciliation that God wants to do inside of our lives. And he is saying, if you will trust me with it, think about the fish and the loaves, so they bring it to Jesus. Whatever we have, God, all I have is bitterness. All I have is anger right now. God is saying, bring it to me. I will change it. I will redeem it. I will flip it around, and I will replace it with what you need at the soul level, not just so that other people can see, but all of a sudden you walk into work and you're no longer carrying that anger or that hurt or that shame, but you walk in with a newfound freedom in what God is doing in your life. And I believe that there are relationships that God may be bringing to our mind right now, and the Holy Spirit may be speaking to our hearts. And my prayer today is twofold. Is that one, is that if we feel that moving inside of our hearts, what is God asking you to do today? Is he asking you to surrender a particular relationship? It could be with a parent. Could be with a spouse, could be with a friend, it could be with a coworker, that you just know it's not happening. And in fact, it's starting to change you a little bit. It's starting to cause your heart to be calloused or your mind to wander or all these different things. God is saying, hey, let's break all of that apart. And today, let's find freedom from that. Let's bring that to Jesus. And I promise you, He will begin to change it day after day. Every time we come to the table, it's like He peels another layer of our heart back. It's like He loosens that callous up just a little bit and He breathes more life and more freedom and more hope and more peace into our lives. And soon we walk out of there going, wow, look at what God has done. And now we get to experience the now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than we were ever to ask or think according to the power at work within us. I believe that with my whole heart. But it starts with surrender. It starts with, God, I'm bringing this to you today. And here's the amazing thing. Is one thing I can promise. If you bring it to one of our leaders or we begin to pray for it, you won't walk through it alone. We will walk through it with you. We will pray with you. We will guide and direct and say, hey, this is what God's truth says right now. Oh, I know it's so hard, but let's just work through this thing together. Here's what I want you to realize is you don't have to walk through it alone. You have people, a community, and most importantly, God and the Holy Spirit want to work inside of you to bring and to reconcile your relationship to Jesus. And so let's start today in a big way. And maybe you just want to take, maybe you got some notes there and maybe you have a name you want to write down or, but I'm in a moment, I'm just going to pray for us and ask God to begin to bring healing to that. But the way that we receive healing is identifying it and giving it to God and saying, God, this relationship with this person and this is what they did to me. I don't know what to do, God, but I need you to heal that in me. Bring it before Him. So I'm just going to take a few moments. Let's bow our heads. And maybe you just want to, maybe you've never even prayed before. And in this moment, you can take a few minutes and just saying, God, this is what's going on in my life. God, I give it to you. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you today, and I pray that you will move inside of our hearts, God. God, we know that when your word, oh, it's like fresh bread to our soul, and you can bring healing, God. And I pray that every single person that walked in here today can experience that healing in you. God, I pray that if we have come to the table today holding on to something, I pray we give that to you. God, I pray that you will move inside of our hearts. I pray that you will take the bitterness or the anger or the rage or the hurt or the guilt, God. Take off that weight, Jesus. We trust you with it. I pray for healing in Jesus' name right now, God. I pray for freedom. I pray for hope. God, I pray that you will grant every single person patience as you continue to work inside of our lives through this moment, God. God, I pray that you just breathe into the fire of community for our church. God, we pray that you will bind us closer and closer together and that we know that unity comes through you, Jesus. That we are walk unified under one name, and that is your name, Jesus. I pray that you walk with us. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. We're going to sing together. So I encourage you to stand up as we worship. And maybe you just want to take a few moments and connect with God. You're just hearing the words on the screen and you get to sing that out to Him. And I just want to encourage you, I'm going to be right back here in the back. And if you would love just to pray, I'd love to pray for you, pray over you, pray for what God is doing inside of your life. And we have other leaders in the room. And so if we have multiple people want to be prayed for, don't worry. We got plenty of people to pray over you and for you for what God is doing. So let's continue to sing together.
hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.